morning, everybody. It's great to have everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us today, it's great to have you as our guest. We always love our new people becoming part of our fellowship and getting to know them better, and I pray that you'll have a tremendous time with us this morning. Why don't we open up with a word of prayer before we get into this morning's message. Father, we thank you so much that we know that you can be in control of our lives, that you direct us in every possible way, and I pray this morning as we start this new series on life-sealing choices that you will open up our hearts and our minds, that you will be able to speak to us directly to know, Father, what are the kind of choices that we need to make? What are the choices that we need to make that will shape our lives, that will put us in a course that you have designed for us, and that will ultimately bear the most fruit in our lives that will be to honor to you? I pray as I speak this morning, please lead me. I pray in your Son's name. Amen. A couple of months ago, I read a story about a man who, he had a 4 or 5-year-old son, and he was trying to make the grave mistake of trying to work from home with the kid being there. I've tried that. It doesn't work. And so after much frustration, he thought he's not getting to his work. What he has to do is he has to get the kid busy. And so what happened was he found a picture of the world. And he cut it up into different pieces, and he threw it on the floor in the lounge, and he said to his 4-year-old, "Why don't you, I'll play with you as soon as you've put the world back together. As soon as all the pieces fit." And he went and he sat in front of his computer, and he thought, boy, I at least have an hour. And about 5 to 10 minutes later, the son came back with the picture taped just like this, and it was perfectly back together. The dad was flabbergasted, and he asked him, "How did you manage to do it?" And he said, "It was fairly simple. When he turned it around, there was a picture of a person on the back." And he said, "What I did is I put the person together, the world turned out just fine." Often we want to fix the world, but the only way to fix the world is to fix yourself. And that what we do is, as we put our person back together, the world looks just fine. This morning I want to ask you, what does your person look like? Are you all put together so that your world looks just fine? My guess is that for most of us, our person is scattered all over the living room floor. And we don't actually have an idea of how to put it back together so that our world would look just fine. And what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks is we're going to take a look at 6 spiritual choices that each of us need to make that will help us to put our person back together so that as we look at the world, that it would be just fine. So we're starting a series called Life's Healing Choices. And every week we're going to take a look at just one choice. And I believe that as we embrace that choice and make that choice, it will put us on our way forward to be able to have freedom from our hang-ups, our hurts, and our habits. Because make no mistake, most of us have hurts of the past that is haunting us. We have hang-ups that is causing us much pain. And we have habits that actually messes our lives around quite a bit. You either have one of those three or you have all three. But only in making godly choices are we able to gain freedom from those hurts, from those hang-ups, and from those habits. So if you can please turn to Romans chapter 7, then we'll start talking about these different ones. Where do we start in putting ourselves together? Today we're going to take a look at the cause, the consequence, and the cure to our hurts, our hang-ups, and our habits. What is the cause? Why do we have them? Let's just, quick show of hands here. Who of us have some hang-ups? Okay, who of us have some hurts of some sort? Okay, who of us have some habits that are, man, it is not helping? Okay. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at what is the cause, why do we have these hurts, these hang-ups, and these habits, what are the consequences of them, and what is the cure to them. First of all, the cause, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Paul is saying, listen, I've got a desire to do what is good. Maybe we today have the desire to say, man, I've got to get my finances in order. I've got the desire to do so. The desire to work things out with God. I've got the desire to be a better parent, to be a better spouse. I've got a desire to deal with these hurts, these hang-ups, and these habits, but I cannot carry it out. Verse 19, he says, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Have you ever been in that spot? You know the good that you ought to do. You have the desire to do so. But somehow, you just don't do it. Why? It says it is our sinful nature. We are just sinful by nature. We have to make absolutely no effort to be sinful. You don't have to wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to make a great effort to be selfish. I'm going to focus on it, and today I'm going to get it right. Or today I'm going to be critical, or today I'm going to be judgmental of people around me, and I'm really going to focus on it. There is no effort involved. It comes very naturally. All you need to do is just be. And if you be, it happens. We are sinful. As it says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We just tend to miss the mark. The word sin means missing the mark. So in other words, God has a mark for us. Let's say, he's saying, listen here, this is how I want you to live. So if here's the bullseye, if you're in this area, that's sort of okay. This is stretching it. And out of this area here, that's where things get problematic. Here we are as people, and here is our life going at that bullseye. And there it goes. And we say, let me aim at that thing. But it's just everywhere. We miss the mark. We don't even get close to the mark. Our sinful nature just misses it completely. We just don't get it. Because in the midst of this, although we absolutely miss the mark by a million miles, and it is so evident to everybody around us, we still try and control our own lives in the process. And in the process, we still try and play God. We want to call the shots in our own life. We want to say, listen here, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is what is acceptable to me. This is how I will do it. I know, yes, there is the Bible and the God's plan, and this is what He wants for me, but I don't care. I rule my own universe. Now, I doubt whether many of us actually physically say that, even out loud in our hearts, but when we look at our actions, it is just simple fact. We are control freaks. We want to control everything around us. We want to control our image. We want to control the way that people look at us, the way that they see us. We don't want them to see the real me. We want them to see the perceived me. The way that I would hope that they would see me. The way that I think they would want me to be. And everyone does it. Whether you're a teenager at school, you're trying to get the teachers to like you, friends to like you, the cool crowd to be in with you. The cool crowd has an image to protect themselves because they are not really who they are supposed to be. It's just a perception that they're cool. And it doesn't finish at school. The older you get, in many ways, the worse and the more subtle it gets as we try and control our image. As we try and control the way that people view us. But this control thing is nothing new. This control started already back in the book of Genesis. You remember Adam and Eve? Why did Eve eat the apple? Because it was organic? It says that she looked at it, desired it, and the devil told her that when you eat of it, God does not want you to eat of it, because when you eat of it, you will be like God. You will be able to know the difference between good and evil. You would be basically in control. You would be able to control your image. You would be able to control the way that people see you. And we don't want people to see us for who we really are. Because if people see who we really are and they don't like who we are, I'm in trouble. Because I'm all that I've got. And if they don't like this package, it's problematic. So let me try and control their perception. In our God complex, we also try and control people, don't we? We want people to fit in with our life. We want them to do and be what it is that we want them to do and be. We do in a marriage. I hear word in the street is wives do this more than husbands, but that's just word in the street. I won't speak on it. But where wives try and say, well, if I can just control my husband to be this kind of guy. It's called manipulation, but they try and dodge that word. But if I can just control my husband to be this kind of guy, then I would be happy. Then my world would be in order. If I can just control my wife, if I can just get my kids under control, then things would be fine. And in all honesty, the teens thinks, if I can just get my parents under control. If they just understand that I am the master of my universe and that I do possess all wisdom and knowledge, then their lives will be better and we will function better as a family. We try and control people. We try and control our pains and our issues. We understand that there are problems and we think, but I will control them. I can handle it. My issue is not really an issue. I can handle my lack of discipline. I can handle my desire for impurity or pornography. I can handle this gossip. It's not that bad. It's not like other hypocritical Christians. I can handle this. This is just a slight conversation about someone that is not here. I can handle it. It is okay. I don't have a drinking problem. I can handle it. The fact that I have a drink every day, I can handle it. I'm not getting drunk. Really, I'm not. You can even ask my wife and my kids. I don't get drunk. I can handle it. I'm okay. I can handle these drugs. It's not the big stuff. I'm not an addict. It's not that kind of problem that I have. I can handle it. Don't worry about me. Don't get involved in my life. Don't try and speak into my life. Rather, speak into the lives of the people that really need it. The people that really have a problem, because I don't have a problem. It's just this little issue on the side. It's just a little issue. I've got it under control. And in our control, we try to escape in all kinds of things. We try to find escape through working excessive hours at the office just to somehow I can control that. And if I'm away from home and away from reality, then things are under control. It's jumping in and out of relationships. It's controlling what you eat. I don't have to eat that. I am in control. I can measure what I eat. Or we allow ourselves to just eat whatever it is that we want to, and we say, but it's under control. The food is just helping me feel better. I just feel, I don't know if you've ever gone through that. Yes. Where you think, man, if I can just have this now, if I could just have this ice cream, or if I could just eat this, it's not, have any of you guys seen Kung Fu Panda? I take it more of the younger guys would have seen it, where he just, I don't have a problem. And he just packs it in, all under the illusion of I can handle it. I'm okay. Others try and dodge the bullet by being critical. Because let's face it, if I am critical of you and I pay my attention or put my focus on you, I do not have to focus on myself. If I take a look at your marriage or your career or the way that you treat your children or the way that you spend your money or the way that you live and move and have your being, and if I can even pull other people into it, into the circle of trust, where we will together talk about you and together complain about you, then neither of us have to look at our own lives. So we become judgmental. Talking about others, throwing ourselves into sports and hobbies. We even try and dodge the bullet by building a wall of depression around us. Meaning we accept the fact that we are depressed, and because I'm depressed, I don't have to deal with it because I'm just depressed. And I don't have to deal with my issues because I am depressed. And so I'm just here in my home, in my room, isolating myself from everyone because I'm depressed. And being depressed here is somehow going to make me feel better. See, the cause of our hurts and our hang-ups and our habits is the sinful nature. The cause is that we are sinful people with a God complex. We are sinful people who, instead of admitting, saying, I've got issues, man. Issues as long as the shopping list. Instead of admitting our issues, we try and control it. Where does this lead to? What is the consequence? Well, there are several consequences. I mean, the list is very long, but let's talk about a couple. One of the consequences of trying to control everything is fear. You're afraid. Adam and Eve, what happened when they ate? Says that they became naked. And they put this fig leaf outfit together. And it says when God came looking for them in the garden, they hid. Why? The scripture says because they were afraid. They were afraid that God would see what they have done. They were afraid that God would see them for who they really were. And so they hid. I can imagine that it must not have been very nice sitting there in a tree with the leaf outfit and waiting for God to come by. And as you hear him, I don't know if you've ever went through this as a kid. I had several encounters with this where I did something. I remember as sort of a semi-teen, I was 18, 19, and my dad gave me a car. And I had a little bit of a mishap with the car. And there was no more car. And that was the first week of having the car. And I remember sitting in my room that night, waiting for him to come back. And he went to watch the rugby that day. God was with the Stormers yesterday. I think God is a Stormer. We'll take comments on that afterwards. But I remember, this is like 20 years ago, I remember hearing the car park outside. The car stopped, the handbrake being pulled out, the door closing, the key in the front door, the door opening, him walking through that door, and me sitting in that room, shivering, because he's going to see what I've done. Well, he won't see it, the car was in a scrapyard, but I'm going to have to tell him what I've done. See, when we control and put up an image and try to keep it all together, there's a huge fear. Because we're afraid that we're going to be found out. Trying to play God is not fun at all. Because you're afraid that people will see who you really are. That, let's face it, you're a fake. You're a phony. You're pretending to have the great marriage. You're pretending to know what you're doing. You're pretending to have it all together. It's just pretense. And you live in a constant fear of rejection. A fear of that if people really found out what's happening in my heart, if they really found out where our marriage is really doing, if they really find out how I really feel and how I really think and what is really happening in my life, they will not like me. They will not love me. They will reject me. And of course, we control that, we live in constant fear. But also we live in a sense of frustration. Trying to be the general manager of the universe is a tough job. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to play this game. This is, I don't even know what you call the thing. I don't know if you guys can see it from there or if they can get the camera on this thing. But the idea of this game is that you must hit these little guys as they come out. But it is, as you hit the one, it basically becomes impossible. Because you get the one, but as the one pops out and you hit it down, another one hops up. And being general manager of the universe, not that any one of us have ever tried this, but as you try and be in control of your finances and spend that extra time at work, your marriage falls apart. Then you jump to your marriage and you pay attention there and your kids fall apart. Then you pay attention to your kids and your marriage falls apart. Then you think, okay, I've got it all controlled, but I've not done any exercise for 6 years. My body is falling apart. And there is a sense of frustration. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, where you feel that, where you sense in your life and you just feel like it's not working. I feel frustrated. I don't even know what it is, but there is a sense of if they can just get it together, or if these teenagers of mine could just see the light and stop being this way, or my parents could just figure it out, then what frustration is, it is a symptom of a God complex. It is a symptom of a consequence of you are trying to run your own universe. You are trying to be in control. So not only are you fearful, but you're also frustrated. So you are fearfully frustrated. And that's a problem. But not only are you fearful and you're frustrated, but another consequence of this is fatigue. You're tired. Playing God is incredibly tiring. I don't know how many of you guys know the story about, was it Elijah? Elijah and the prophets of Baal, or Baal, whatever pronunciation you prefer. He's working it out with them, and God is doing great things, and God is at work, and he puts an altar together, and the Baal prophets put an altar together, and they say, well, hey, let's pray, and whoever answers by fire is God. And then the Baal guys dance and slash themselves from morning till night. Nothing happens. And then obviously Elijah prays, and at that stage trusts God, and he says, God, man, show them the real deal. And fire falls from heaven and licks up the water in the trenches around the offering itself. Everything is God, and everything is just awesome, and God is God, what have you. And then the next day, Jezebel says to Elijah, well, hey, listen here, buddy, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you're still alive tomorrow. And so he starts panicking, and he hides under a tree, and an angel comes to him to strengthen him. And he says, listen, there's no other prophets left. It's just me. I'm just tired. He tried it for a day or two. He just tried running his own universe and being in control and being God for a day or two. And it just wore him out. It's not fun. How are your energy levels this morning? Who of us are looking forward to tomorrow morning? We cannot wait for the alarm clock to go off. Oh man, what a blessed day to be back at work and just be a light to the world, salt of the earth. I'm just going to make a huge difference everywhere I go. Cannot wait. Or are you fatigued where that alarm goes off and you think, oh God, save me from this hour. It cannot be. One of the worst things for me is maybe I'm telling you too much detail about my personal life, but one of the worst things for me is when I wake up in the middle of the night and I need to go to the loo, and I come back, and as I get into bed, I just take a look at what time it is, and it's 2 minutes before the clock goes off. I think, no, Lord. Fatigue. Why are we so fatigued? We try and run our own universe, friends. We try and keep everything in check and balance. We try and keep the family in check. We try and keep our jobs in check. We try and keep our spiritual life in check, our finances in check. We try and run it, and it's just, you know what, it's wearisome. It kills you. David said in Psalm 32, verse 4, he says, my strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. So before I came clean with what's happening in my life, before I was the real deal, before I just honestly said, God, listen, I'm a sinful dude. I miss the mark all the time. My life is a mess. It is totally out of control. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to run this thing. It's before he got to that point, he says, my strength evaporated like water on a sunny day. He says, I was just completely fatigued. I couldn't do it. I'm just weary. It's a consequence. Another consequence is obviously failure. Because trying to play God, failure is guaranteed. It's not going to work. Try and run your life your way and see where it ends up. For some of us, we're lucky and we see that it's a disaster quite early in our life. For others, we go at it for decades. You know, it's this little game where you're smacking, trying to run it. Trying to figure it out, trying to deal with these hurts and these hang-ups and these habits in our own ways. And it's decade after decade after decade, and your life is wasting away. And at the end of that, it turns out to be a failure. You fail because you're doing something that you were never designed to do. We've got to stay away from this. Got to stay away from it. This control, this I'm in charge, this I can do it mentality. There's an animation movie called Bug's Life. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen it. But there's a scene where this one little bug, I can't remember what the bug's name was. The bug's not with us anymore. Because he is seeing a light, and he's flying to the light, and he realizes he's not supposed to fly to the light. And he's flying to the light, and he says, oh, the light is so beautiful, the light is so beautiful. And the other bugs are shouting, don't do it, Joey, or whatever his name is, just don't do it. I want to say to you today, if that's you, don't do it, man. Don't do it. And I know that as we're sitting here, a number of us are thinking, it's not me. I've got everything under control. Honestly, you're thinking it. I'm sure there's a lot of other people here who doesn't have stuff out of control. Life is out of control, but it's not me. It is not me. I'm okay. I came today because a friend dragged me. I came today because a wife put a gun against my head. I came today because I've not been here at church in quite some time, but it's not me. I want to say to you, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay away. Don't do it. Don't go the self-control route. Don't go the it's not me route. The consequences are too bad. How do we cure this problem? Take a look in Romans chapter 12. Because the cause and the consequences don't look too pretty. But does it have to be that way? Does my life have to be that messy? Or can it be fixed? How do we do it? And that is our first choice that we're going to speak about today. How do we cure our problem? In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. We have to think of ourselves with sober judgment. We have to think with a clear mind. And we have to be honest. Where am I at? What's happening in my life? Do I have a problem? Do I have hurts, hang-ups, and habits that are not dealt with? Do I have an alcohol problem? Do I? Do I have a problem with a lack of discipline? And it's actually bigger than I think. Do I have that problem? See, the first healing choice is you have to admit it. You have to admit, I have a problem. My marriage currently is a problem. My parenting style is a problem. My lack of self-control is a problem. My substance, I call it use, but abuse, is a problem. It is a problem. You have to admit and say with sober judgment, I have a problem. I am incredibly selfish by nature. I think of no one else but myself, and that's why people around me are suffering. I have a problem. If you cannot admit today that you have a problem, then you cannot heal. You cannot move forward in God's plan. You have to be able to say, I have a problem. Second on that, connected to that first decision, not only do I have a problem, but here's where I'm going to lose some of us. But you need to admit that my problem is completely out of control. See, we tend to think that my lack of discipline is just a small issue. My selfishness, my gossip, my self-focusedness is just a small issue. My abuse of alcohol is just a small issue. It's just a small issue. It's not a big issue. It's a small issue. It's an issue that I can deal with. It's an issue that I can carry around with me. It's an issue that I can handle. You have to admit today, it is out of control. Your life is, because of that thing, out of control. And it is not isolated. See, we think it's isolated. We think it's just with me, right here, right now. But it's not isolated. A couple of weeks ago, we did a small renovation to our house. We changed our TV room into a bedroom for the kids, since they're on another one on its way. And what we had to do just to do that is basically just move the door. So we had to brick up the door and knock a hole further down the room so it would be in the passageway behind a security gate so that everyone is safe and we don't leave the children for the wolves when the burglars break in and fight it out with ADT on the other side of the gate. And fascinating, little did I know, they didn't grind out the wall, they just literally hit it out with a hammer, just hit out just a wall, just the size of a door. I don't know if you've ever done this, but that red dust is fascinating. It goes everywhere. I mean, we covered the TV with linen and all kinds of other things. It creeps in underneath that. It doesn't even land. It just hangs. You'll walk into the house. I mean, they hit it out the morning, and it hangs in the air. Our bathroom is about almost 10 meters away from the action spot. The toilet was red. And our bedroom, that is, again, it's way down the aisle. On the other side, the doors were closed. It is able to go underneath the doors, and it just creeps into every little nooky, cranny little thing. The whole house was red because of one simple door. Can you sense my frustration? We've got wooden floors. People always think they look nice. Those things are nothing but problems. The red dust basically goes into the pigmentation of those floors. I mean, never buy cheap varnish. We did that 6 years ago. Don't. This is why I'm paying for it now, but that's just extra freebie information. A lack of discipline is the same way. It crawls into every little nook and cranny of your life. It will crawl into your finances. It will crawl into your lack of self-control. It will crawl into your relationships. It will crawl into your job. It will crawl into everyone that you love and trying to protect. It's the same with selfishness. You cannot get away from it. You've got to understand that it's a problem. It is crawling in everywhere. And you think it's isolated. I've got it under control. I've got it just around me here. No. A healing choice is to admit and say, listen here, it is out of control. So one, I have a problem. Two, it is out of control. And three, I need help. I cannot fix my life by myself. God never designed it that way. I need God. I cannot fix this by myself. I need help. I need God. I need His Word to direct me. I need His Spirit to prompt me. I need to go to Him day after day and say, God, help me deal with this issue, because I have issues. I have hurts. I have hang-ups. I've got bad habits, and I cannot deal with it myself. It is out of control. I desperately and badly need You every single day of my life. Not just Easter and Christmas, my birthday, when things go wrong, and when someone drags me to church. I need it every single day of my life. I need help. And not only do we need the help of God, but we need the help of God's community of people. See, God never designed life to be lived in isolation. He never designed our challenges to be resolved in isolation with Him. He designed life so that it would be resolved in community. He designed life in such a way that when I have a problem, that other people can speak into it. That I would be able to say, listen, I have a problem. I've got this problem with discipline. I've got a problem with alcohol. I've got a problem with drugs. I've got a problem in my marriage. I've got a problem with my kids. I've got a problem with this. I've got a problem with attitudes in my heart. I've got a problem with just things that I cannot forgive of the past. I've got problems. Please speak into my life. I trust you. I love you. I know that you love and trust me. And we're in community here in God's church. I have a problem and I need your help. I admit to you and to God, I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. Too many of us are going solo at this one. And we're saying it's between me and God. I want to challenge you today. Don't go solo. I'm sure that most of us, as we're sitting here, there's something in our hearts that we know needs dealing with. There is something in our character that we know needs dealing with. And we've been putting it off, and we've been putting it off, and we've been putting it off. And we've been trying to think that it will disappear. We've been thinking that it will go away. And for some it has been weeks, for others it has been months, for others it has been years, and all honesty, for some it has even been decades, and it has not disappeared. It's right there every morning at your doorstep as you wake up. Admit it. Admit you have a problem. Admit that it's out of control. Admit that you need help, that you need God, you need God's people. And I believe as we make those basic choices today, it will lead to healing in our lives. Let's close with a prayer at this time.